This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Rafael Almeida, professor, assistant professor in the School of Earth, Environmental, and Marine Sciences, University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley, in Texas. Speaking of floating solar panels on the Earth's reservoirs, providing an alternative for others renewable sources, aiming for that net zero by 2050. But what can go wrong and why? All right, Rafael, let's get right to it. Environment always has to be a concern. Rafael, I learned from you that solar panels would cut down the amount of oxygen reaching the reservoir underneath, which would in some way inhibit or change the ecosystem, the fish and the marine life. Might also alter the environment so that there's more methane generated than less. Is all that correct? That's a concern. And you want to do a study about that?
Yeah, that's a concern, John, that when you cover the surface of reservoirs with solar panels, that's going to obstruct sunlight. And then in reservoirs, in water environments, the oxygen is produced by these microscopic photosynthetic organisms, the algae. And then if you don't have enough light, they may not produce as much oxygen. You change the entire, that's the way aquatic scientists refer to it, the aquatic metabolism, the production and consumption of oxygen. And then when you do that, that may trigger cascading effects in food webs. So when you ask what could go wrong, what is a very important question for scientists and decision makers and engineers to ask is, what is the fractional cover of a reservoir that will produce an amount of solar power that is satisfactory without compromising the food webs that live in that reservoir, as well as the uses of that reservoir? If we're talking about covering half of a reservoir, that may be problematic. You were obstructing the penetration of sunlight in ways that can disrupt food webs. If we're talking about only 2% of a reservoir being covered, that may not have significant effects. That's the environmental side of things. But you could think about this from a social perspective as well. People like their lakeside properties. Will they enjoy looking during sunset? They're chilling outside, and then they look and there's floating solar panels on the reservoir. Like, that's another issue. So that everything needs to be carefully considered. There are places that may be more favorable for the production of floating solar panels. There are regions that are going to be less favorable for the production of floating solar. And these trade-offs need to be carefully assessed, because it can derail plans. If we start getting public opposition to this because of all of the downsides, that can derail plans and harm decarbonization goals.
Weather, of course. You mentioned a typhoon in 2019 that wrecked an array. The one that I'm keen on that we have to think about is water levels. We know what's happening to Lake Mead and Lake Powell right now out west. So you have to adjust for worst case scenarios. We have about a minute. Indonesia's building this. Brazil's building this. But you have a wonderful map saying that parts of the world where this would be great benefit, Canada's included. I'm struck by the fact that Europe doesn't have enough reservoirs for this to be practical for Europe. Can that be augmented? We have about 30 seconds. Can that be augmented, or is Europe going to continue to look for other sources besides floating solar panels?
Yeah, in some regions, it's going to be good, like Brazil and Canada that you mentioned, that has lots of reservoirs. Europe does have a good amount of reservoirs, but not a lot of people and a lot of demand for energy. China is another example that you need a lot of coverage for it to be significant in terms of decarbonization goals. So there's going to be variation geographically around the extent to which floating solar can play a big role in decarbonization.
All right, Professor, we're going to play a game here that I enjoy when I speak to published scientists in Nature Science. I give you an unlimited budget. What do you need to know, and how will you go about it? Do you have that plan in your head now?
Yes, that's a great question. And if there's an unlimited budget, I would test different coverage levels in different places and see what are the trade-offs in terms of what happens to the water. I'm a freshwater scientist, so I study aquatic ecosystems. So I would tackle this question of what are the consequences that different coverage levels, 1% of the reservoir, 5%, 10, 20, half of the reservoir, what are the ecological consequences of that? And that's the question that I would like myself to address moving forward. But we need to understand the social aspects of this. So we need social scientists on board. We need economists on board to figure out the economics, and energy planners as well, to see the extent to which we can connect all that information to support decarbonized electricity systems.
Rafael Almeida, assistant professor in the School of Earth, Environmental, and Marine Sciences, University of Texas at Rio Grande Valley, writing in Nature magazine about the future, the undiscovered country, floating solar panels at Lake Mead when it's restored by the rains. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.